Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to say again, I strongly encourage everybody to go to the Devil Radio website. Many of you have been kind enough to say you want to support Devil Radio. Well, we have a link on the website up in the menu bar. Support Devil Radio gives you all the ways you can. Really appreciate it. While you're at it, download the Devil Radio app. The website or the Apple or Google stores and carry Devil Radio with you 24/7. And I'm going to say one other thing. There are a lot of elections coming up starting now through the fall of 2022. And I'm not just talking about Senate, although there is that. There are 11 candidates. But there's state treasurer, Sarah Godlewski, is giving that up to run for Senate. There's lieutenant governor, Mandela Barnes, is giving that up. There's going to be a ton of candidates for both of them. There will be candidates in Ron Kind's congressional district. There'll be assembly candidates, state senate candidates all over the state. The smartest thing you could do, is get a radio spot on Devil Radio. And I'll tell you why. Devil Radio will produce the spot for you. You know, you just tell them what you want to say and they'll do it. But secondly, it's very, very cheap, believe it or not. Very cheap compared to any other kind of advertising. The third thing, instantly, your name will be transmitted around the state, instantly, to progressives and Democrats all over the state, and voters, regular voters. They'll get to know you. There's at least one race I'm familiar with in Milwaukee, where a candidate for comptroller advertised on Devil Radio. The opponent did not. It was a close election, and in my view, and the view of a lot of people, she won because she advertised on Devil Radio. You should at least call and get a quote, because I'll tell you what, very, very reasonable. And it's one way to instantly get to the core base of the Democratic Party. And oddly enough, there are Republicans who will do that simply to say, I'm not a bad guy. I'm not evil. I don't have horns. That in itself can narrow margins in races. I'm on the Democratic side. But just as a businessman, I'll tell you what. You couldn't find a more distilled engine for distributing your name and your message quickly and cheaply to the entire Democratic base in this state. Okay, there is a scandal brewing, not surprising, with Jared Kushner, one of his buddies and running dogs, and it is a guy named Kenneth Kersen. Let me give you the background. Kenneth Kersen, very close friend, Jared Kushner, had a penchant for eavesdropping, cyber stalking, and computer trespassing. And from some of the factual accounts, it seems that it stems from the breakup of his marriage, and it's not clear whether the targets of this were people who provide information to his wife or people who had a relationship with his wife. That's not clear. What is clear is that he was federally charged with eavesdropping, cyber stalking, and computer trespassing, that kind of thing. Donald Trump pardoned him just before Donald Trump left office for many cyber crimes, all of them pending, because he's Jared Kushner's buddy, his bud. What is the President of the United States doing? What is the President of the United States doing exercising presidential plenary power to pardon somebody from one area of the country in an otherwise unremarkable case because he is the friend of his son-in-law? What about the merits of these federal charges? What about the morale of the federal prosecutors who bring these things? They have good cause to do it and they do good work. And then their rugs yanked out. Oh, well, okay, no harm, no foul. Mulligan, well, no, not on felonies. Well, now, just now, Cyrus Vance, the DA of Manhattan, borough of Manhattan in New York City, state entity, Trump's pardons don't extend to state crimes, has just charged him with eavesdropping, cyber stalking, and computer trespassing. State charges. Now, Cyrus Vance will be the DA until a new DA is elected this November, takes office a few weeks later. So Cy Vance will still be the DA like to Thanksgiving or Christmas, somewhere in there. Sure, the new DA, he's been elected already. Seems like a competent sort. He'll keep this going, but Jared Kushner cannot protect him, from these charges. It would take Andrew Cuomo or Kathy Hochul to pardon him, and that ain't happening. So stand by. Kenneth Curson, close friend of Jared Kushner, pardoned once by Trump. Jared Kushner's father-in-law, Jared Kushner, is married to the daughter Ivanka. But now it's beyond Trump's power, not only because he isn't president anymore, but because these are state charges. It's about time. You know, those pardons were abusive. He pardoned Steve Bannon for doing a fundraiser saying he's going to build the wall and then take some of the money for personal luxury expenses. The guy gets pardoned. Now the state authorities in New York are looking at that too. It could be that some of Trump's pardons are going to end up being inconsequential because they may get recharged in state court. Just quick, the Department of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, has informed the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, that the United States is holding up $450 million to the Taliban in Afghanistan since they've taken over the government. What is that all about? What that's all about is that there are a number of impoverished countries in the world that needed extra support, and the wealthy nations got together and put in a pool of billions of dollars. $450 million was assigned to Afghanistan under the Afghan government, the prior Afghan government, and they're given what's called special drawing rights, special drawing rights. So Afghanistan, the legitimate government, would have had special drawing rights for $450 million to alleviate poverty and to provide humanitarian assistance in Afghanistan. Janet Yellen, which means that Joe Biden was consulted on this, is freezing that because the Taliban is simply a cultural and political affiliate of Al Qaeda. They're on a campaign of sectarian and racial murder. What are the moral consequences of that? What is the basis of that decision? The Taliban have already held up $500 million in humanitarian aid and won't distribute it already. The United States has held up and frozen more than $10 billion that the Afghan government has on deposit in New York banks, in American banks, because they say the Taliban is not a legitimate successor. If we turned over that greater than $10 billion to the Taliban and gave them special drawing rights for $450 million, how much of that do you think would get to the Afghan people? How much it would be stolen to fund the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and all these affiliates? That is the dilemma. How do you get humanitarian aid to people when the people who have seized the country are intent on murdering some of the populace because of their religion or because of their race and giving none of it to them while they steal it? The answer, I suppose, is you'd like to go in, wipe out the Taliban, restore a government, and then distribute it. We did that 20 years ago. We lost a lot of American troops. Some of them were shot in the back by Taliban people in Afghan army uniform. That is an Islamic society, and it's been for a long, long time. Afghanistan was not originally Islamic. Neither was Iran. Neither was Malaysia. What happened was the Islamization of those countries after the 7th century, when the caliphate pushed east, and look what we got. And they're doing it in Africa right now too, sweeping down, murdering Christians and animists. So you're never going to change those governments unless there is an unbelievable upheaval. And you are left with a dilemma. And the extreme governments, which aren't governments, but terror groups that throughout the government, do you give them money? if you know they're going to steal it and not use it for humanitarian aid. In Somalia, remember Black Hawk Down, we wanted to send in humanitarian aid and warlords stole it, fired on our helicopters, killed our guys who are trying to protect the distribution of aid to starving people. How do you get aid to starving people when terror groups seize their government and steal it and don't give it to them anyway? You try to starve and strangle the terror groups, but in the process, the people are getting hurt. Some of them are rising up in Afghanistan. They have a system of warlords and local tribal chieftains that are not sectarian in the sense that the Taliban are. They should be encouraged. They should be encouraged with weapons. They should be encouraged with air support, not ground troops over there. But in the meantime, they're not getting $450 million from the IMF. They're not going to get over $10 billion from our banks, and they're not going to get any money to continue their destruction of Afghan society. One problem, you know, with Afghanistan just recently, it was found that Afghanistan has one of the biggest lithium deposits in the world. Its value has been put at between $1 and $3 trillion. One consequence of our withdrawal, we could have harvested that, you know, and paid for it a reasonable amount, and we would have had access to it. Now the Chinese will have access to it. They'll go in Belt and Road, give them a few bucks. And the Chinese, unlike us, tolerate murders of Chinese people. A bunch of Chinese businessmen went in. They got murdered. Some Chinese women went in to start a hair salon, and they offered massages. They got kidnapped. Nobody knows what happened to them. So you're going to have people from China go in, set up, and they have big copper deposits too, set up copper mines, lithium mines, and essentially steal the $3 trillion worth of lithium, which is a very, very coveted commodity right now, by paying a, you know, a few $20 billion for it. That was a consequence. It wasn't worth staying in the country. If we had a stable government, we could have negotiated with them anyway. But just so you know, on everybody's radar, that is a consequence of our withdrawal. Absolutely a consequence of our withdrawal. So we're going to be going to a break shortly. The lines are lighting up. Do not hang up. I will get back to you immediately after the break. Immediately after the break. And there's a lot more to talk about. A lot more to talk about. One of the sad things in Afghanistan is we've now announced, apparently, that we can't guarantee safe passage to the Kabul airport, that somehow it needs negotiation with the Taliban. You can't negotiate with Nazis. They'll lie to you. There's got to be some force used when necessary. We must evacuate first all Americans. The idiots that are still there, there are 15,000. What the hell are you doing there? You were told to get to the airport before this. Secondly, interpreters, people loyal to us, affiliated with our army. And then third, the other people. There's no reason a lot of these people can't be relocated, by the way, to other Islamic countries in the Middle East. They don't have to come here or Europe. Going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.